Hi, Marissa Scale, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Gina?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us here.
Oh, of course. Take all the time you want.
Well, I just got finished watching Sorority Party Massacre.
And, did it blow your mind?
Well, you know, it's a very different kind of horror movie. One of the questions I was going to ask you about it, you might as well get right out the gate with it, is there's a lot of comedic elements here. Did you guys set out to really make a comedy or a horror movie?
It's a comedy horror. So I know Chris Freeman definitely wanted to take elements of Hot Fuzz and some of the other horror movies that he really fell in love with. And so you definitely get a mishmash of some of his favorite genres, really. It's kind of like his own love piece where he's got his favorite elements of horror and comedy and even, you know, your sexy sorority
right.
kind of thing going on in there.
Well, there's a lot of, again, almost an 80s vibe here. Was any of that intentional?
Oh, you're breaking my heart. So originally, it was supposed to be an 80s period piece.
Oh, really?
And I was so excited because I was thinking I was going to get all these costumes and leg warmers and crazy permed 80s hair. And,
yeah.
Sadly, the budget just didn't allow for that.
So that 80s feel I'm getting off it, there's obviously something intentional going on there.
Yeah, you picked up on exactly what we were going for.
Wow, how about that? Well, so let me ask you a question. How did this film come to your attention? How did you get to be involved?
That's a bit of a roundabout story. I actually originally had this audition for Justin Jones and Chris Freeman for a different project altogether.
Okay.
And they liked me so much that I got a random call a few months later from Anthony Clementi, the producer, saying, "Hey, would you just show up for a photo shoot?" And yeah, me being trusting and naive, I didn't think they were going to kill me. I just showed up somewhere. I had no idea where I was. And it turned out that they were doing the promo shoot for Sorority Party Massacre, and Chris Freeman had actually written this role with me in mind.
Wow. That's got to always be flattering.
I think it's flattering.
Yeah.
No, you saw the movie, so you tell me if I should be flattered.
Well, but I mean, it's flattering that someone creates a character thinking that not only that you're up for it, but also thinking about using some of the characteristics or whatever of you to do it. I think that to inspire parts got to be flattering.
Yes, I was very, very pleased.
Now, I notice also you get pretty much one of the more active roles in there. You get to do a little fighting and such, and so I got to ask you, how many of those stunts did you do?
That was most of the fighting, and then we did have stunt doubles for anything essentially that could have injured us for the sake of...
Sure.
You know, we don't want a big gash on your leg or anything if you're going to be needed in the next shot. So that shot where we fall through a wall,
right.
for example, that was a stunt double, and I was supposed to be the one... doused in the ocean, because that shoot was, you know, a freezing cold shoot
yeah.
in the middle of January off the coast of Ventura.
Yeah.
At like 1 in the morning, and so I am very thankful that I did get a stunt double for that. But that was more of a last-minute thing, because that was supposed to be my last scene of the whole movie, and we uh-huh. ended up meeting scenes shot after that, so they decided just in the event that I got horribly sick after doing that shot,
oh,
they
no.
hired somebody.
Now, if also a little birdie tells me that when you're doing your stunt fighting, that you got to learn to pull your punches. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, no, there was no actual punches.
So you didn't land any?
No, but I'm glad that you asked me that, because that means I must have sold it very well.
Yeah, no, you absolutely sold it very well. So, also, I looked at the films you've been in, and now, in the same year, you seem to have done the Sorority Party Massacre and Slumber Party Slaughter. So, next time I go to a party, I need to make sure you're not on the invite list, because they don't turn out very well, do they?
No, especially, not for the other visitors, that's for sure.
So, is this intentional, or is the horror community something you're embracing now, that you have an intention doing, or did this just kind of fall in your lap?
I'm always open to pretty much going anywhere with my acting, because I mm-hmm. just love being on set and love being a part of the process.
Sure.
Especially on these smaller budget movies where, you know, you really get to be there from beginning to end and talk with the producers and directors a lot about what they're going for, and so you're an integral part of it.
Sure.
But My first experience in horror was actually when I very first landed in L.A. I graduated from the Acting Conservatory at City Purchase, and, you know, it couldn't have been more different because I was doing Shakespeare and classics in college, and the very first thing I get is Scream Queens.
Yeah.
Which was a VH1 horror show, and so after that, maybe it was just because that was the first thing on my resume, I just started getting auditions for horror.
Now, what do you think? What do you think of that label? You've used it as well, and of course, a lot of people in the industry use it, the Scream Queen label. What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting more because of it means something different to people when you ask.
Right.
And of course, the Scream Queen is probably Jamie Lee Curtis, right?
Yeah, that's she's probably the original, isn't she?
Yeah. So to me, that's a compliment. But I do know some people that say, "Oh, Scream Queen, that means you're a beast." Movie actress, or you know, it has like a negative connotation.
Sure.
So it is kind of interesting when people see your resume and they kind of pull a judgment one way or the other.
Do you worry about that kind of typecasting, or are people not taking you seriously enough to give you a shot because of stuff like that, though?
I personally don't, because I think if you're that stuck up, I probably wouldn't want to work with you anyway.
That's a good answer. Well, what about working? You have two directors here. You have Chris Freeman and Justin Jones. How is it like working with two different directors? Is there a different kind of dynamic going on than what you're used to?
Yeah, they are definitely two very different voices on set. I think it really wasn't dramatic at all. It was actually a lot of fun because both of them are fun-loving people. I mean, we go out drinking together all the time. They're good buddies now at this point.
Yeah.
So it was never, you know, that thing where you have two directors and too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, they were very much on the same page and working together. It never made me feel like I was being talked down to like some directors can.
Well, that's good. Did they have, like, specific roles, or did they kind of just both jump in there, or did they kind of each have their own little area that they handled?
Yeah, they did have a little bit, because obviously Chris Freeman also wrote it.
That's correct, yeah.
So a lot of the creative questions, you kind of first go to Chris just to see where he was going with something in the script. And then Justin is very, I guess it would be left brained, because he's very organizational and keeps everything running on track. So if you have a question about, you know, what we're going to be doing, or, you know, the organizational aspect, he'd definitely be the guy you'd go to.
Yeah. How long was the shoot?
That's a doozy of a question, because from that first day that I did that promo shoot, we then probably took another 6 to 12 months before we did the first week, like a half a week of filming.
Right.
And that was where you got those segments of the introduction of the girl.
Right.
Montage.
Yeah.
Then after that montage, there was another year break in between.
Oh, wow.
And then that's when we did the bulk of the movie a year later. And actually, on the DVD special bonus features, there's a scene in there of me doing a fight scene that's not in the movie, because we really did just shoot it to get to the point where we could film the rest of the movie.
Sure. So did that create...
So that's true, that we filmed just to get to the majority of the filming. And so really, all told, it was about a 2 to 3 year process.
Well, and that's the question I had. Did that create any continuity issues for you? Did you have problems getting back and in and out of the character to do that, or was that pretty easy?
I mean, I'm thankful after watching it, because obviously that was a concern for me, was, wow, I wonder if people are going to think that I look really drastically different. But I think that mainly because it's also like the mostly the montage is a different segment from the rest of it.
Sure.
It's really not too noticeable, or you'd forgive that my hair is a little shorter, or little things are different.
Right. Well, tell us about Paige. Who in your own definition is Paige?
To me, Paige is really altruistic, kind of a philanthropist. Because, at the very beginning of the movie, and I think the clip's actually up online right now, he goes around and he asks each of them why they want the grant. And Paige is the one who says she wants to help, disenfranchised women.
Okay.
She wants to go out and she wants to make the world a better place. So in a way, she's a little like the heart of the piece, and that's really what she wants the whole time.
So does Paige really mean that, or is she just saying what she thinks might get her the award?
In my playing of her, I felt that she really meant it.
Okay. All right, it looks like also that the cast seemed to have a good time, especially in the special features you can see. It seems like the cast had a good time. Did you get a lot of time to hang out with the other girls and people in the cast?
Yes, actually. I mean, I was so honestly blessed the whole time just to be working with so many wonderful actors and the whole crew. Because even though we were filming in some crazy conditions, sometimes you'll see a shivering or freezing under furniture pads.
Yeah.
We were all having a lot of fun the whole time because everybody had a great attitude about it. There were no, you know, whiners or complainers.
Yeah.
Everybody was there to make a movie and have fun doing it.
And the extras, they talk about that there was a lot deleted. Is there a scene that was deleted that you really, really wish had been in the film?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm still partial to the full montage.
Uh-huh.
And I think they are also available online somewhere just because I still die laughing on all the different characters every time I watch it. And of course, you can't have a 10-minute montage.
Right, of course.
In the final movie, so they had severely trim that down. That's probably still one of my top-rated favorites right there.
And it wasn't, you know, there's enough in there where you sure get a wide spectrum idea of the types of things that the characters did before they showed up on the island, or I guess it's an island or cove or whatever it is.
Yeah, you still get the meaning behind it. And I think that was really, I think their cuts overall, as much as, you know, you love seeing every little moment, I think that they really did a service to make sure it clips along and you don't get too far ahead of the plot.
Sure. Where was it filmed anyway? Where were most of those exteriors done?
Mostly, it bounced around quite a bit. There was a lot done at Hummingbird Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Tuscan Villa, so that's like in Simi Valley and a bit north of L.A. And then the boat scenes and the docks there were all done in Ventura at like 1 in the morning during January, so it was absolutely freezing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember poor Tom Downey was practically in, going into hypothermia in the bathroom after that scene.
I'll bet.
I think I actually walked in and I handed him a bottle of whiskey and I just walked out because he looked like he needed a moment.
So you were having a lot of fun on that set.
Oh, yes.
Well, tell us your favorite story about what we didn't see going on, that behind the scenes. Tell us your favorite behind the scenes story.
I think one of my favorite nights probably was when we wrapped at the Tuscan Villa and we went ahead and stayed later and partied. And Amanda Barton, who plays Deputy Wang, is an incredible bartenderess. And so she had a whole bunch of stuff laid out there. And so, you know, we just stayed up late and a lot of people slept over there at the actual place, you know, the set, essentially. So in that way, it was a little bit of a slumber party.
Well, so is there a sequel? Are we going to see this character again, or is she done?
I can't say anything for the character, but I do know there is definitely a sequel.
Okay, but you can't tell us whether the character's in it or not.
Well, you got to tune into the next one to find out.
Okay. Now, you said you've become friends with Chris and Justin. I assume that you have plans on working with them again.
Yeah, I would always work with them in a heartbeat.
So what is coming up next for Marissa? What is the next we're going to see you in?
Hopefully, I mean, I got 3 movies in the works, so it's really just a question of when they start airing.
So you're keeping busy.
The next horror film that I'm sure you've heard of through the grapevine is Love in the Time of Monsters.
Uh-huh.
That's like if you could imagine a Bigfoot movie and a zombie movie having a comedy horror baby.
So you shot that film already?
Mm-hmm.
You've shot that already?
Yes, that is filmed and currently in festivals.
Wow.
And I'll be going to a red carpet premiere, actually, in March for that.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. And then I also have Antique Case that's in the editing phase, so hopefully maybe about a year from now we'll be hearing some more information on that. And hopefully, actually, even sooner than that, I have a coming-of-age horror, not horror, I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind, coming-of-age comedy called Sharp.
Oh, good. So you're getting a chance to stretch your muscles a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Stretching it out a bit.
Well, that sounds like fun, and I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. It sounds like with these projects coming up, we'll probably talk down the road again.
I would love that. Thank you, Gina.
Well, you have yourself an incredible night, and thanks again for sharing your stories and thoughts about the movie. And we'll mention again that Sorority Party Massacre, that's coming out on DVD, and I assume there's a Blu-ray coming out. We had a DVD, but I assume there's a Blu-ray of that coming out. Do you know?
Yeah, actually, that would be a question for Ed, I think. So.
Okay.
Actually, I have to jump in here and say, it's DVD only.
Oh, okay, DVD only,
okay,
but but it's going to be out there, so we hope that the fans go out there and take a look at it.
Thank you very much, Gina. Thanks for watching.
Well, I thank you very much for your work, and take care, and thanks again for the call.